Snap your fingers, Chuck.
I'm not good with this left hand for some reason.
No, you got nothing coming out that left hand.
I got nothing for some reason.
Shooting blanks over there with that left hand when you're trying to snap your fingers. And you could almost do it simultaneously. You almost did.
I don't have rhythm.
No.
I don't.
This is true. Welcome to the Steam Room, everybody.
Yes.
It is great to be back with you.
Special guest today.
Yeah, we will get to that in just a second. Yeah. Your jeans are looking really crisp.
Yo, man, you better stay off my jeans, man.
Really crisp.
Hey, man.
You could shave with those
pants. Hey, man, I am sick of y'all, Megan.
You could shave. Look at the edge on that bad boy.
Shout out to my tailor.
Wow.
I got 20 pair. I got 10 pair of blues and 10 pair of blacks.
Mm-hmm. Do they send those in a box to you?
Yes, they do.
I'm surprised that box doesn't open itself.
Thank you, KW. I like my jeans, KW. I'm comfortable. That's the most important thing.
And that is the most important thing. How's your weekend?
I had one of the greatest weekends of my life.
Why did you shake your head like, oh?
So, you know, I joined a great golf course in Arizona called Whisper Rock.
Yes, I've heard.
Me and my partner, Dan Marley, won. We won the Sticks and Stones. They have a tournament called the Sticks and Stones.
Yeah.
And we won.
Did you break some bones?
There we go. There we go.
Ernie,
I played the best golf I've ever played in my life. Obviously, Dan carried me.
Is this a best ball?
It's a scramble best ball.
Okay.
Alternate shot, excuse me.
Wow.
And I played great. Friday I played the best round of my life. And Saturday I played pretty good. But Friday I played as good as I can play.
So you were not putting Dan in any uncomfortable situations?
No,
like, okay,
no.
Hey, I'm gonna snap hook this drive, get us back into play.
I played well enough that, you know, I carried my own. But Dan Marley, one of my favorite people, one of my favorite teammates ever, we won the Sticks and Stones.
Man. Black Masters 1 year, Sticks and Stones. I mean, you are on a roll.
I'm on a roll,
man.
Right. Shout out to my coach, Stan Utley, who changed my whole life. I love you, Stan.
Yeah.
Love you, Stan.
Yeah, he did. He changed everything for
me. Hey, man,
right?
I played great, too. I was so happy.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
If you had said this like 3 years ago, I would have said, yeah, right.
No,
but I've seen you play.
But I'm getting even better, Ernie.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you, brother.
Because you love the game.
I love the game. Didn't like it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. What else is happening with you?
So, we're going to start on a couple sad notes today. I hate doing that because the podcast is supposed to be fun. I got a big list right here. I want to give my thoughts and prayers to the Virginia football family. Those three young kids who got killed. Man, that's tough, man. I saw Coach Tony Elliott's words, man. It just thoughts and prayers, man. And to all the parents, brothers, and sisters. You know, 20 years old, three young kids gone, another kid's ruined his life forever. It's tough. You know, because I always tell you, man, when you're in sports, you're in the greatest fraternity ever. So thoughts and prayers to the Virginia football program.
You can't even comprehend that.
No, you cannot.
You can't. You can't. You can't try to.
Yeah.
No.
So my second thing is we lost a legend last week, Fred Hickman.
Yes, indeed.
One of the best guys, one of the best to ever do it. My first recollection of sports announcing, guys, not announcing the game, but like got me into sports, Fred Hickman, Nick Charles, and Van Earl Wright.
Yeah.
Those two guys and Van Earl. Man, when I met Van Earl, I thought I had met, he was the original Godfather. His voice when those little...
On those little headline news things. Yeah.
Oh, it was,
and you never saw him.
You never saw him.
His voice, Los Angeles.
And he came up to me one night at a bar somewhere in the line. He says, I hear you're a big fan of mine. I said, dude, I don't know who the hell you are. He says, I'm Van Earl Wright. I said, I am a huge fan of yours. Because I'd never actually seen his face.
Yeah.
So Nick Charles, rest in peace. Fred Hickman, one of the best to ever do it. One of the best dudes, rest in peace. And shout out to our old friend Van Earl Wright.
Yeah. Boy, Fred Hickman and Nick Charles were such a great team.
They were, weren't they?
And Fred just had a great zest about him, and just like you could tell his enjoyment of doing what he was doing.
Yes.
And you think about Chuckster.
And wait, what's my old guy name? The other guy, Jim Huber.
Oh yeah. That's what I was going to say. You think about the folks who have like Turner ties.
Yes.
Who we've lost from Fred Hickman to Nick Charles to Craig Sager,
yeah.
Jim Huber.
Yeah.
Man.
My grandfather was the biggest Braves fan in the world. Like, if I went to his house 100 times, he had to braise on 100 times, going back to Dale Murphy, Bob Horner, and those guys.
Right.
He loved the braids. And that's why I started watching CNN, because they were part of the TBS family.
Right. And with dad and Skip Carey, yes, Pete Van Wieren. Yep. Yeah.
And I was like, man. And because we in Alabama, we don't have pro sports. We always rooted for the Braves, the Falcons. So I love watching those guys. So shout out to the Hickman family and rest in peace. Okay, this is something I hate to say. You know, last night we went to the Shaq documentary.
Yes, we did.
The first episode was fabulous. I want to give a shout out to Big. I call him Big. It was really great to see his mom, Miss Lucille, one of the greatest women ever.
A lot of the family there last night. It was really a fun night.
Hey, man, he got some kids. He got some kids, y'all. The whole front of the theater was kids, like the first two rows, actually. So it was great. We only saw the first episode. I guess there are four episodes.
Right.
And it's coming to HBO Max,
mm-hmm.
a sister network of ours. So shout out to Big. The first episode was fabulous. Can't wait to see the next three. And so the last thing is something personal for me. One of my great friends in the world's name is Gary Godfrey. And Gary has ALS. And him and his wife, Carol, have handled this thing better than any people imaginable. And there's another guy at Alabama named Kerry Good who has ALS also. So what Gary and Kerry are doing for the Alabama-Auburn game in a couple weeks, they're doing the Kerry and Gary challenge.com to who can raise the most money for ALS. So if you went to Alabama, Auburn, or anywhere else, go to carryandgarychallenge.com, and they're challenging the Alabama fans to go against the Auburn fans to raise money for ALS. It's a great cause.
How do you spell Kerry, by the way?
K-E-R-R-Y.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how to spell Kerry too, right?
Yeah, but there are different ways to spell Kerry, okay, so I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Folks Kerry, who are listening.
Kerry, K-E-R-R-Y, and Gary Challenge. .com between the two schools, the Iron Bowls in a couple weeks. So, listen, you know how much Auburn means to me. You Alabama fans are great. You got the greatest coach ever. I love the way that the house is falling down when y'all only lost two games. That's how ridiculous y'all fans are, base. They think it's the end of the world because they lost two games. They make me so sick, Ernie, them Alabama fans. But this is a friendly competition. It's a very friendly competition. So, Auburn, I just want to say something. Kick their ass. So, go that, man. Because I will tell you this. Gary played with me at Auburn.
And his slogan is, make today your best day.
Best day. Him and his wife, Carol, their attitude is the best. Like, I don't know how they're always in a good mood. And it makes me happy and amazing every time I'm around them, because the class, the dignity, the honor, whatever words you want to use, that they show battling this horrific disease. So let's just raise a lot of money. Because I think Gary said to me, I can't remember everything. I think it's really expensive. I think it costs about $250,000 a year for a person who has that with all the stuff they need. So they really need a lot of money. So I'm going to figure out how I can help them, but go to the challenge.
Yeah, and I think what's impressive, too, about that, Chuck, is when you see somebody who's dealing with something that personal and that painful, is that they're not looking inward, they're looking outward and saying, okay, this is what we're faced with. Now, how are we going to help the next person through it? And so kudos to them.
Yeah,
good. And hope you raise millions.
Bless both of you brothers, man.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Chuckster. Anything else on your mind?
Shout out to little Henry. Henry, Grandpa, Big Pop loves you. Big Pop.
You think little Henry listens to the pod?
You know, since I called him little Henry that time, I think the podcast is off limits to my daughter. I told her, it's a cute little nickname.
Who said that was a cute little nickname for your grandchild?
It's a term of endearment. I love the little man. I like calling him that.
Well, are we off to a flying start?
We off to a flying start.
Yeah. Still to come on this edition of the Steam Room.
War. That's a hint. Look at that dude right there.
Which one?
Charles Wade Barkley and Dan Marley.
That's impressive, Chuckster.
Thank you, brother.
That is impressive.
They accused me of cheating.
That's not unexpected. We'll be right back.
I played great.
Back here on the Steam Room. As you all know, I'm a proud University of Georgia Bulldog class of 1978.
Trust me, we know.
From the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communications. And what? So I got my journalism degree.
You went to class?
Shout out Georgia, shout out the Grady School.
You went to class?
Oh, did I ever. Love going
to
class.
You must not have been good at sports.
Love going to class. Hey, played 1 year of college baseball for Georgia. You know that? I did. Yeah. I got that 1 year. Walked on as a freshman, was told to walk off as a sophomore. There you go. But anyway, I don't know what you're doing right now as you listen to this podcast. You may be at work. You may be sitting at home. Maybe you're trying to get inspired a little bit. I'm going to play something for you that if this does not get your blood pumping and get you ready to go.
Yes.
I mean, I was ready to play after hearing this the other day from Cadillac Williams, Carnell Cadillac Williams, the new head coach of your Auburn Tiger.
War damn eagle.
This is vintage.
Carnell, this tradition was happening when you were a player here. Why was it important for you to bring it back?
All fighting soldiers. Because we locked in, we together, we're a family. We about to go play Auburn football, man. Unity, man. That's what this university represents. Serve, discipline, and believe. Let's go play ball. Let's go.
Woo. Cadillac. Man, I mean to tell you, that's one of those where the hair on your arms, the hair on the back of your neck standing up, man. What was it like for you I know you couldn't wait to get on that field, but it was like, look, this is enough talk. We got to go play. Let's go play ball. What was that moment like for you?
Oh, I mean, honestly, just leading up to that day and going through Tiger Walk with my family and seeing the fans, then seeing a lot of my former teammates that support. Wow. I'm just overwhelmed about just all the love, the support, the way that these players have responded to us coaches, this coaching staff. So, you know, that moment just kind of exemplified the whole buildup of what's going on and just the feeling that I had.
I know personally, and I know you know, can you please tell the world what it's like to be part of the Auburn family? Because every time I go to Auburn, I feel like I'm going home. Can you just give us a quick, like, what it's like to be part of the Auburn family?
Look here, Charles, you know it's kind of unexplainable until you actually get on this campus and feel the energy, the love, just the empathy, compassion for people. Like, not only do Auburn people just, like, loves Auburn football, but they love Auburn. They love humanity. And honestly, this place is a place where young men can not only develop on the field, but also develop off the field. And one of the main reasons that I chose Auburn many, many, many years ago is because I think this university represents changing lives. And I think truly, you know, with us being in this position and what's going on in the world, that's what it's about, is serving, discipline, believing, and changing people's lives. And to me, that is what this university is about, and that's what this Auburn family is about. It's a real, real feeling now.
Yeah.
It's a whole vibe, as they would say.
You know, I try to tell people, see, Alabama is a great school, but I tell people, you guys don't get it. People like Alabama because they're great at football. I said, Auburn is like a family. I said, and like you said something interesting, like it's hard to explain to people. And I think a lot of it has to do with some insecurities because of what happens over in Tuscaloosa, but there's such a special bond. Like when I'm traveling the world, the country, and everybody's screaming War Eagle, it's like you're really part of a family.
No doubt. I mean, you hit it right on the head, Charles. I'm from North Alabama, and I grew up rooting for that other team. Grew up since I was 11 years old, going to those games. And I got the opportunity in 2000, my senior year, to go to the Auburn-Georgia game. And just the difference of the environment, I was like, I was so, like you say, that family feel. Like, I mean, to me, I personally believe that we was put on this earth to, you know, do life together. And to me, that's this Auburn brand, which is just such a huge brand. Like, that's what it gives you. It speaks life into you, to be honest with you.
Let's get into your background a little bit, especially for folks who are listening to the Steam Room and are saying, okay, look, I know a little bit of the story here, but I'll break it down for you. So this guy that you're listening to, Carnell Williams, Cadillac, when he was at Auburn, 9 times was the SEC Player of the Week. That's a record. 9 times Player of the Week. First round pick, number 5 overall, into the NFL by the Tampa Bay Bucks back in 2005. Played there till 10. Played with the Rams in 2011. And then I know there were injuries, and I know you and Chuckster have like similar. It's this patellar tendon injuries that you guys have both had, and you had them both knees, Coach.
Yes, sir.
But then here comes, you know, was there this moment then of, what do I want to do now that playing is done? Because you're still a young man at that point. And how did you settle on where you wanted the rest of your life? What you wanted that to look like?
Wow, good question. Well, first of all, 2010, the great Steve Logan, my running back coach there, who I got mad respect for, still a mentor, got it. You know, I just love. I can remember him asking me, whenever towards the end of my career, when things weren't going right there, when the organization was moving in a different direction, he asked me what I wanted to do in life, and I was like, I'm gonna be a businessman, you know, I'm gonna travel the world, I'm gonna do XYZ. And I can remember him telling me, he was like, you actually gonna be a coach. I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna do what y'all do. He is like, Cat, like, you up here super early, like you love to work out, you love the game, you prepare right. Like, I'm telling you, sir, like, you're going to be a coach. I'm like, no. So anyway, so in 2011, I got married July 2nd of 2011. Honestly, I was kind of on autopilot. I was trying to get back in the NFL in 2012, but, you know, they wouldn't return my call. So I had to move on, and, you know, me and my wife, I had an insurance agency going. We're traveling and, you know, living life, had a little boy with Cole, my youngest one. And I can just remember they're stuck, like, what do I want to do in life? And I can remember my wife telling me, saying that, look, Saturday and Sunday through Monday, all you do is talk football all day, like analyzing the game. I'm talking about all day. She was like, why don't you get into coaching? And that kind of lit a fire upon me, because I started thinking, like, okay, I do love the game of football, and I do love working with kids, and I love to serve, because, you know, it's people that poured into my life that gave me an opportunity to be sitting in this seat. I wouldn't be where I am without those coaches that poured into my life. So I wind up going back to school in 2014, back here at Auburn. I had 7 hours left, English 2 and Spanish 2 to finish. So I finished my degree, and then right from there, I jumped into coaching in 2015. And what I want everybody to realize is, when you're not hot and popping much, you're not going to get too many return phone calls about, you know, wanting to coach to get in this business. So, you know, I'm a guy who I never have want to bother people. Like, I'm a workaholic, and I work my tail off. So I reach out to the NFLPA and, you know, find an opportunity. They partner with Division II programs for former players like myself that wanted to get into coaching. So I went to, in 2015, I went to Arkansas, Arkadelphia, and walked in to be the running back coach there. It was funny. Scott Maxfield, the coach at the time, and tell him I won again. And coach was like, well, good. I haven't hired a running back coach. You can come in and coach running back. So I was scared to death, never coach. You know, you play the game at a high level, but I never coached. But instantly, when I got in that locker room and got around those kids, like, naturally, it was so natural on the field. I was like, man, like, this is what I truly want to do. And then from there, my journey started from 2016 when coached with Will Hall at West Georgia. Like, wow, amazing guy. Then 2017, 2018, I was coaching at IMG. And then that's when I got a call from Steve Logan. He got named the offensive coordinator with the Birmingham Iron, the semi-pro league. So coached there for a month. And then that's when I got the opportunity in 2019, Coach Malzahn called me to coach at Auburn. And now the rest is history from there.
How did that phone call go, or how did that meeting go with Gus Malzahn? How long did it take for him to offer you that job? And what did it feel like to say, man, my alma mater wants me to come back and be part of this?
Well, first of all, I tip my hat off to Coach Malzahn for giving me his opportunity to come back to Auburn, because Lord know I was not qualified for the job, and he let me know that. But anyway, so I was actually on the practice field. We was in San Antonio practicing, and, you know, I had my Apple Watch on, and of course, I knew it was a running back job open down there. Auburn, my homeboys, everybody wanted me to call down there. I have never been the person to intrude or make phone calls on my behalf. So I'm like, no, they know I'm in the coaching. If it's God will, it'll happen. So anyway, Coach Malzahn calls me. And I look at my Apple Watch, I see Gus Malzahn. I'm like, oh, Lordy. Okay, I'm trying to put two and two together. I'm like, running back job open, I'm coaching. This might be it. So anyway, long story short, rest of that practice, I could not focus. Like, I was like, okay, what do we want? So whenever I got, when practice was over, man, I'm talking about, I ran to the locker room and called him. So he's like, hey, Cadillac, as you know, we have a running back job open. And just call and just want to see if I could fly you down here and interview you. And I'm like, man, coach, like, I'm in training camp right now. I said, man, coach, I'm sorry. Like, I can't fly down right now. You know, we're in the middle of things right now. I'm sorry. He was like, well, I can't fly to you because we're in the middle of recruiting and the planes are out. He said, but let me call you right back. So, boom, like 5 minutes later, he called me back. He said, hey, can I fly to you tonight?
Wow.
Like, yes, sir. I'm like, yeah, yes, sir. So anyway, he flies to San Antonio 7:30 that night. And everybody know Coach Malzahn, he loved Mexican food. So we I forgot the restaurant we went to. So we go there, we sit down for about an hour and a half. He said, Cadillac, I know you was a great player. I don't know much about you. He said, but from my wife to everybody at Auburn, to former teammates, to everybody, do anybody got anything bad to say about you? Like, I have to come and find out for myself what it is all about. He said, because honestly, I got some big time people that want that running back job. So I'm just being honest with you, Cadillac. This is a long shot. I just want to meet you and talk with you. So we just get to talking, and, you know, he asked me, do I think I can do the job? And like I just told him, I said, you know, who's better than, you know, myself, a guy who played at Auburn that knows what Auburn is about. Like, he was honestly worried about me recruiting. And I'm like, coach, I was like, one of the top backs in the country, from the Nick Sabans to the Jimbo Fishers to, you know, a lot of these guys recruited me. So, I mean, I think I can relate to player. If that's what you worry about, coach, then I think I'm the man for the job, if that's the only thing you worry about. But anyway, the conversation went well. He did not offer me a job. He said, well, I would get back with you tomorrow and give you some. He said, but, you know, it was nice meeting you. So we left there. So I'm in my meeting with the coaching staff with the Birmingham Irons there by 11 o'clock at night, like 11:15 p.m., the same day that night. I see Coach Malzahn calling. So I'm like, I press in. So I text, "Hey, Coach, I am in a staff meeting. I, you know, I can't talk." He said, "Well, call me, you know, once you got the staff meeting." I'm like, "Okay, yes, sir." Boom. "Okay, we'll do." So I called by 11:45. I said, "You know, call, hey, Coach, how you doing? Cadillac, the job's yours."
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm just stuck. He's like, "Cadillac, you there?" "Cadillac, you there?" And I'm like, "What, you going to take it?" Like, "Of course I'm going to take it. Yes, sir." So that is how that all went, wow, man. But I'm ever grateful for Coach Malzahn and Christy Malzahn for them giving me the opportunity to bring me back here. So, you know, owe them a lot of credit for what's taking place here.
So you go from being an assistant coach to head coach. What's the difference on your time? I mean, you've only been there a couple of weeks, but like, what's the how much different responsibility? Your head's got to be spinning because the head coach got a lot more to do than assistant coach.
Well, first of all, those assistant coaches, man, they working their tail off, man. I give credit to my staff, man. I'm telling you, they are helping me in so many ways. And I know I get a lot of this credit, but man, I'm telling you, what a group of men that I work with and women to touch our players. The biggest difference between a head coach and a position coach is honestly your time. So many people pulling at you, and me personally, like, I want to do football, but you get pulled away from so much with, you know, being a leader, you know, having a vision for this program, this team, and pouring into these guys' lives, where a lot of times a lot of your focus has to go there with your message and getting the environment right, the culture right. And then, you know, me, I go from responsible for 7 guys in a room and pouring into their lives to now 100-some players, along with 200-some employees. Like, it was a lot. I'm just telling you, the very first day, I have never had a headache like here. Like, this was hurting, that's hurting. Like, I'm telling you, like, it was unreal. But I got to give credit to my running back room, man. Those guys seeing how uptight I was, seeing how bloodshot my eyes was, like they was coming to me in my room and they came to me. And I can remember that, like, "Coach, you okay?" I said, "No, I'm scared." Like, I'm like, "Dude, I'm not okay. Like, I'm panicking. I'm like, what people gonna think about me? I don't know if I can do it." Like, I just said, like, "Yes," because I said, "No, I'm not okay." Like, I was, but they say, "Coach, man, it's powerful. Like, you have no idea the impact that you have on us, Coach." He said, just like you talk to us, Coach, talk to the team that way. I said, "Man, it's only 7 of y'all. It's 100 or something of them." So I'm like, that's a little different, man. Yeah. But man, those guys gave me that confidence. So that kind of calmed me down, where I was like, man, like, you know, I can't be nobody else, because I was like, maybe I'm going to be like this coach, because I done played for some great coaches, and I had an opportunity to be around a lot of great coaches. So I was like, okay, that's how I'm going to be. Maybe I'm going to be like this. No, I'm going to do like this. On the sideline, I'm going to stand like this, that. You know, everything is going through my head. So it's like a calmness that the good Lord put in me, was like, "Look, I've been preparing you for this moment. Mm. Show the world you. Be you." And honestly, with all the, you know, inexperience, and I know I don't have no experience doing it or no background, but I just say, you know what? I'm by serving, I'm by giving back. I know how important that player-coach relationship is, because it gave me an opportunity, a lifetime. It changed the whole trajectory of the Williams family. So I said, man, I'm going to emulate what my peewee coach, Steve McConnell. I'm going to emulate what my middle school coach, Rod Gray. I'm going to emulate my high school coach Raymond Former. Like, they laid my foundation. Like, they invested in a kid like me that was hopeless at times and just had a dream. So I said, man, they spoke life into me. Like they showed me by their example that they care, they love me. So I said, you know what? That's how I'm gonna be with these guys, and the rest is history.
Coach, I gotta tell you, I mean, this is as inspiring a story as I have heard. Yeah. And I've heard a million of them. And look, so in the span of a few weeks, you go from replacing Brian Harsin. You go from this feeling of just fear of what this job entails to standing in the middle of a locker room being given a game ball. Give me the feeling in that moment when that ball was handed to you.
You know, to hear those captains, D-Hall and OP and those guys, to hear those words of, man, coach, we know that you don't – is, you know, you tell us it's not about you, it's about all of us. But to hear those guys say, man, coach, but to watch the way you serve us, the way you care for us, the way you love on us, like, man, that is everything for me. And, you know, again, I never had no aspiration or dreams to be a head coach. Like my friends, they would tell you when I got in this coaching, like everybody, you know, final goal is to be the head coach. And I'm like, that's not mine. I want to sit in the back. I want to have impact on kids.
Yeah.
And I want to change lives. And I can do that from coaching running backs and just living a simple life. Like, that's me. And to be thrown in this fire and to hear that from those guys, man, them guys give me purpose. They make me a better father, a better purpose. I mean, a person. So, like, those guys think that I help them, but they keep me going. Like, they help me and give me that confidence because I know how it is. A lot of these kids that, you know, background is just rough coming up. Like, they need to be loved on. They need to know that people care for them and it's okay to fall. And it's going to be people there that's going to handle them in the right way. So they need grace. They need grace. And so I truly, truly feel that way. And the team has responded. And I thank God for the staff, the group of men that I'm working with and women, everybody around the Arvin family that's supporting and pouring in, man, because it's impactful.
Well, number one, before we finish up, I want to ask you this question. How often do you call Carnell?
Honestly, not very often. Like me, I always introduce myself as Carnell.
Yeah.
And it always get missing because I introduce myself as Carnell. A lot of people don't know that it's Cadillac. So it's like they come back like, Cadillac, why didn't you say Cadillac? Like, so honestly, I don't get called very often Carnell. I know the players, they call, you know, Coach Ladd, you know, but not very often, to be honest with you.
Last thing from me, Coach. I love hearing the word I hear coming out of your mouth the most in terms of what your job description is serve. And that's powerful because it means it's not about you and what you're getting. It's how you're able to pour into the lives of these guys. That being said, as you pour into the lives of 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, what would your message be to somebody who right now is in the position you were in? You know, you're past the college age. You're kind of like, where's my life heading? How do you find a sweet spot like you did?
Ooh. Believe. Honestly, in times of adversity, when times get tough, you know, the way I like to look at it is a lot of storms in life are not meant to be conquered. They're just not. But if you can stay steady and you can withstand, it's so many lessons that's within that storm where it's going to prepare you for that next storm that's coming. Because one thing that we all know that in life, storms don't discriminate. You either in a storm, going towards a storm, or coming out of one. I don't care if you're rich, black, poor, high, whatever. I don't care. So those tough times, man, you have to be in relationship with people. Like whatever the, you know, like me, my Lord and Savior, that's who I lean depend on. That's who my faith is. Like you have to have somebody that you believe in and people that you're in relationship with that's going to help you and pull you through those tough times to give you life. Because to me, that's all. Life is never a loss for me. That's kind of, it's about your perspective. Life never is a loss. Everything is a lesson. Like, I truly feel like that, you know, to whom much is given, much is required, and God not going to put more on me than I can bear. So whatever comes my way, I know that I may not win that battle, but I'm going to be better because of it.
Wow.
So that's what I would give, you know, whoever is struggling, going through life and with all the uncertainty, all the things that's going on. Like, I just believe in love. Like anything that's built on love, it's going to withstand. It's going to grow. You're going to go through your trials, your trauma, your error, but man, I truly believe on anything that's built on love, it will grow. It will grow. You will prosper. I truly believe that.
That's all I got for this, man. Yeah. You can close it out, Auburn Tiger to Auburn Tiger, if you want. But let me just, Coach, thank you. This was awesome.
Ernie, real quick. I did not know you went to Georgia.
Yes, I did.
Trust me.
Are you holding that against me?
No. I'm not holding it against you, but earlier I was listening and, you know, Georgia.
Trust me.
Ernie. I like it.
You had a few games against those guys too.
Hey, Cal, let me just tell you,
I won't hold that against you.
It's been a rough 2 years around here for me. He is a proud, proud Bulldog.
Most of them are.
It's been a rough 2 years around here for Chuck.
Yes. And it's just going to get worse.
Yes. Hey, man. Hey, I'm so happy for you. I'm proud of you. Hey, and hey, enjoy it, man. Enjoy it.
Yes, sir, man. Look, I appreciate it. I appreciate you all having me on, man. Look, to be able to watch you guys on TNT with Shaq and the rest of the guys, man. What a blast, man. It's comical. I stay up night just to watch you guys. Love it. So you all keep doing what you're doing, but appreciate you all having me on.
And you keep doing what you're doing too, man.
And Chuck, War Eagle, baby.
War Eagle, baby. War Eagle.
Yep, go Dogs.
Hey, we coming now. Ernie, we coming.
I know you are. Oh, man. That was awesome.
That's our new facility right there.
Yeah, impressive.
Yeah, it should be.
You know what's impressive?
$100 million.
That cat's impressive. Man, lying.
I haven't seen a new facility. $100 million.
Yeah.
It should be nice, though, right?
But I would say it better be.
What a great guy.
This guy's legendary. This guy's legendary. This guy's legendary.
You don't get to call yourself a legend.
I'm not calling myself legendary. It's TK. Tim
I'm
Harley,
ready to play
a
today.
A long time.
Are you ready? You in a good mood?
After listening to Cadillac, I'm a ready Teddy.
Coordinating producer of Inside the NBA, Tim Kiley.
Hello, everybody.
Be careful with those coaches' speeches.
What do you mean?
Because that one day I played football, I got a great speech before I went out there, and I quit after one day. Like, I'm ready to go.
That wasn't about the speech. That was about what's in here with you.
I didn't realize the speech sounded great, but then they started hitting me in my head. I was like, oh, this is not for Chuck. No way. I quit after one.
I can't even remember his speech anymore.
Like, I was all pumped up. Coach had me ready to go, TK. Then at that
four-point stance, ready to go, fire out.
Then that offensive lineman hit me right in my face. I said, oh, Lord, this is no fun out here.
Ernie, I have a question for you. With that nickname, Cadillac,
yeah,
what would Chuck's be, the automobile or?
Kia.
He asked me the question.
Okay, sorry.
What car?
Yeah,
would,
like what would, Cadillac's such a
see,
cool
and,
name.
See, it's Carnell Cadillac, you know, like, so it has to have that roll off the tongue. So it's Charles Edsel Barkley.
Edsel. Showing your age, Ernie.
Showing your age.
Okay, experts.
There's no such thing as expert.
Yeah, well, Ernie's an expert.
Only God's an expert.
Ernie's an expert.
No expert.
No, I'm not.
There have been 127 meetings between Auburn and Georgia.
Yes.
Yes.
Who do you think?
The longest. That's the longest.
Most people don't know
Deep South rivalry.
Most people don't even know that.
Yeah. Yes. But 127, who do you think is leading?
Georgia.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Auburn's leading.
63, 56, and 8.
Georgia.
Auburn.
Georgia.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You had to count the last couple of years.
Yeah, those count too.
Unfortunately, six in a row, Chuck.
You're joking, right?
They've beaten you six in a row.
Well, we're due.
It's true.
We're due.
There you go.
Can't wait for next year. We're due.
Speaking of football, I just wanted to get your reaction. The Raiders, Derek Carr, was at the podium after they lost.
I did. I heard about this and I haven't seen it.
Can you play a cap?
I love Josh. I love the car. I love our coaches. They've had nothing but success, you know, way more success than I've ever had, you know. And, you know, I'm sorry. Sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things, you know, that a lot of us try and do just to practice what we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off. Pisses a lot of guys off. It's hard knowing what some guys are doing. Like I said, just to practice what they're putting in their body just to sleep at night. Like, just so we could be there for each other. And I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place. And as a leader, that pisses me off, if I'm being honest.
Do you think he was right in what he said at the end?
I was with him up until the end.
That's what I was curious about. Yeah, from both you guys. You thought
it's like 1 minute, I was like, first of all, he feels like every jock losing sucks. You know, fans, because they look at how much money guys make and how famous they are. Man, when you're losing, it's a long season and it's brutal. I can't imagine how hard it is to go out and get punched in the face in a football game. But that stuff he said at the end, I wish everybody in the locker room felt like that.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah.
That crossed the line.
I think he could. If you're watching that and you're a teammate,
yeah.
You're like, preach it, brother. Yeah. It's right. We are doing all this. And then when he says, and not everybody.
Yeah.
I was with him. Are you talking about
absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely.
Let me tell you something. There is a team meeting going on tomorrow. No, seriously.
I bet.
Hey, we're all trying our best in here. We're all trying our best. You're right. Losing does sucks. We all pissed off. And then when he says, I wish some other guys in the locker room, like, no, we got to have a meeting tomorrow. Like, no, you got to call out names. And like I said, I was with him in the beginning. But when you start throwing guys on the bus, you got to answer for that. Got to answer
That's
for that.
I was curious about it. I wanted to hear what both you guys thought.
Yeah, I was with him because if you don't call out names, because I've been in those team meetings, you got to call out names because everybody's looking around like, is he talking about me? Is he talking about me? Is he talking about me? Is he talking about me?
Not in a post. He can't call out names in a post game.
Into the locker room.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Because then it's up for suggestion in the locker room. Like, right. Who's he talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was with him up until the end.
Cool. Well, speaking of the end, do you know who Chris Evans is?
Yes. Sexiest man alive.
People magazine named Chris Evans the world's sexiest man. But how does he compare to Chuck's man crushes? Well, let's see, Cap. You got one here for us. Chris Evans and Mike Trout.
I love Mike Trout. Wait, what's Idris Elba?
He's not in this list.
He's the sexiest man alive.
I thought Tom Brady was in
your book. Tom Brady's a good-looking man.
Cap, let's go to the next guy.
Yeah.
Chris Evans versus Denzel Washington.
Oh, Denzel. Denzel is like the uncle that everybody wants. Denzel's like the uncle everybody wants.
How old is Denzel now?
He's got to be 65.
So he wins the senior division.
Yeah, he wins the senior division. Yeah. And always gracious when I've been around him.
Yes.
He's like the cool uncle.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody wants Denzel to be their uncle.
We
67.
Get him on
he's 1 year older than I am. He's 67.
We got to get him on.
Damn, Ernie, you 6-6.
All right, next up, Cap. Damn. Chris Evans versus Charlie Hunnam.
I love me some Charlie Hunnam.
Do you?
Yeah. So, are Anarchy, Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, Anarchy.
Anarchy. And he was in that Gentleman movie.
The Gentleman.
With Hugh Grant. And Matthew McConaughey.
Hugh Grant, you're really rolling here.
Yeah.
And next up, Chris Evans versus Michael B. Jordan.
Now, Michael B. Jordan, first of all, he got a serious body. let me tell you something. The stuff he be doing for Creed. Mm-hmm. I just saw they got a new Creed coming out. Mm-hmm. Man, what the hell is he doing?
So what was the first line out of your mouth when you saw that picture?
That's a good body right there. He's a good looking man, but he got a great body. That's a nice tux there too.
And we got a cast here too. Yeah. The cast of Billions.
Oh man. So my man left Billions. Damien, he left Billions.
Wow.
Paul Giamatti. So I like Prince though. The new guy on Billions. But man, Damien, that's the second show he left on top. Remember
Homeland.
Yes.
Yeah, Homeland.
Leave them wanting more, man.
Leave
them wanting more.
You know, Ernie, I was actually going to say that. I says, it's like he is so great, and then he leaves you wanting more.
Yes.
And so I give him credit, man, because sometimes you stay on the show gets stale.
Right.
But he's left two great shows. But, man, I want to meet Paul Giamatti, too.
Yeah.
All right, final one. Chris Evans versus Chuck's man crush goat, Tom Brady.
Tom. Just Tom.
Tom.
That's my man. He's like Elvis. He can go by one name.
Of that group of people, who is Chuck's world's sexiest man?
I'd probably go with Tom. Tom Gates.
What is this? Tom.
It's like Elvis.
That's how you say his name with whatever that is in your voice.
I had to take his watch off the other day because they told me I couldn't wear white during the winter. You know, he gave me his watch at the match.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Got a bracelet.
And I wore it every day.
Goes with a low-key bracelet.
Yes, that's right.
Whatever you can put on your wrist, you'll take from anybody anywhere.
Hey, he's Tom Brady. That's a great watch he gave me, too.
Give me his first name one more time.
Tom.
Hit the music, Cap. Thanks for the help.
Like James Bond walk in, he should say, James, Bond, Tom, Brady.
Hey, TK, that was a great segment.
Thank you. You
brought some great content.
Thank you very much.
Into that.
I got Charlie Hunnam. Is it Hunnam or Hunnam?
All credit go to Cap. What?
Charlie Hunnam or Hunnam?
Hunnam.
Hunnam.
M at the end.
Yes. Okay.
Hug Tom.
Man, he was great in Sons of Anarchy, too.
Mm-hmm. Tom. That was an interesting segment.
That was a great segment.
Yeah. Interesting, great, whatever.
Denzel, Michael B. Jordan.
And Tom.
Bond. James Bond.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in the Steam Room.
See, your singing voice is much better when you're trying not to overdo it like you do in karaoke. See, when you just low-key it like that, that was not bad, Chuckster.
First of all, there's a reason they always call me Old Brown Eyes.
Yeah, I know.
I am the greatest living karaoke singer of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it.
I'm telling you.
And it's not true.
Don't be a hater.
You're horrible, dude. I'm not being a hater. I'm being realistic. So, it's time for the answering machine.
Okay.
And before we get to the first call, you'll recall that last week we had a call from a guy who claimed to have met you at a celebrity pro-am, and you said, "I'm going to eat you." He was just a little kid, just a little shaver. And your response was, he didn't say where he's from. Well, he heard it. He got in touch with Michael Kaplan, Cap, our producer. His name is John. He's from Colorado.
It was at the John Elway Invitation Charity Tournament
in 2004.
Yes.
And he sent along a picture of the ticket stub that you autographed 18 years ago.
John Elway had a great tournament. It was right outside of Denver. You know what was crazy about that?
You didn't win it.
No, I didn't win it. But what was crazy about it, one day it was 80. It snowed the next day, and we had to delay the golf tournament. It snowed first thing in the morning.
You lie.
Then the next day, it was back to 80. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life.
That's made up.
No, that's a true story.
That's made up.
No, that's a true story, brother.
That's made up. Go back to weather.com somewhere. Find that out in 2004.
I'm telling you the truth.
From 80 to snow back to 80.
I'm telling you, it was crazy.
Yeah, okay, whatever. First call.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hey, Chuck. Back in 2016, July, up in Lake Tahoe, you were at the Celebrity Golf Tournament, and I so badly wanted to meet you. So my husband and I snuck in to Harrah's Celebrity High Roller gambling area, and you were gambling, playing blackjack. And I came up behind you and said, Chuck, you're my favorite person in the world, the only person I ever wanted to meet. Can I get a picture? You stood up, took a picture. So the next day when you were golfing, I thanked you for taking a picture of, and my husband yelled out to you, yeah, thanks a lot, Chuck. It's hanging on the ceiling of our bedroom now. And you got a big kick out of that. I wondered if you remembered it.
From that laugh, I would guess you do.
Do these all run together? I don't even know how to answer that question.
No, it is a disturbing image.
He was.
It's a disturbing image.
Well, let me tell you something. Man, that's hilarious. I don't remember the particular incident, but that's hilarious. And I think that, number one, that makes me feel good, because part of being in the limelight, and I learned this from Dr. J, who's probably the best I've ever seen at it. You always take pictures. You always sign autographs. That doesn't mean them professional clowns who be following you around, hounding you for autographs, trying to sell stuff. But like, if I meet a regular stranger out, I'm always take a picture or sign an autograph. That goes with the job. So I'm glad she said, and let me tell you, she's very lucky. I must have been winning too, because if I'd have been losing on a blackjack table, she might have got blasted. And you can't interrupt somebody when they're gambling if they're losing. You can only do that when they're winning.
Well, she knew your game.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, always double down on level, no matter what the dealer got.
How about him saying your picture is now hanging over their bed?
I got no control over what people do with the pictures, Ernie.
Yeah. Whose picture would be over your bed?
Henry's? Little Henry's? Come on, Ernie.
I love Little Henry.
Hey, come on. Nobody put mirrors on the ceiling. That's just a faux pas. That's not a thing. Don't put stuff on your ceiling, folks. Freaks.
Spin the next one.
Hey, EJ. Hey, Charles. Loyal Steamer Joanne here. I heard you were having Cadillac on the show, and he's great and all. But, Ernie, can you please tell Charles who kicked Tennessee's ass and who the number one team in the country is? Love you both, and as always, go Dogs!
Thank you, Doanne. We appreciate that. That would be the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs.
I miss Doanne.
I do, too.
She is so annoying in the TV room. She has to have the Braves on. Like, who want to watch the Braves? Like, she dominates. Because I have my schedule set up in the room what I'm watching. Tuesday night is FBI night. Wednesday night is Chicago night. I don't like to be disturbed on those nights.
You watch sports all the time.
I don't want
to. You watch hockey.
I do. Hockey games for teams you have no allegiance to.
Yeah. What's wrong with Doe wanting to watch the Braves or wanting to watch the Georgia Bulldogs?
Because I'm trying to watch the hockey playoffs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I want to watch the Avalanche play.
How many screens are up there? 15?
Four?
There's
only four on my side of the room.
On your side of the room.
Yeah. Shaq is such a bully. The TVs are right together. He can't move his old big head 3 inches to the left. He has to have the game on both screens.
That's a big head.
I know. He just moves his old big old neck. Want to move one of them big old rolls on his neck to the left. He don't have to have it. Because I like watching multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like last week, I was so depressed, I had to watch the election crap instead of my FBI shows. Mm. And I was like, come on.
By the way, I'm glad you're here today. Have you been back in Arizona counting ballots? Is that what the delay has been?
I just got to say.
Is that you?
I just got to say this. Hey, listen, Arizona, I love y'all. I love y'all, but come on, man. Hmm. It can't take a week to count ballots. What are y'all counting?
Apparently it does.
The thing is crazy, Ernie.
Yes.
Before I flew here yesterday, there still wasn't a winner.
I know.
Until I woke up this morning. I'm like, it's been a week. What are we doing in Arizona? We can't count faster? Come on, Arizona. Do better.
There you go.
Do better.
No doubt. Next call.
Hey, Charles Barkley. Coming over from Australia. How you doing? Just curious. Thinking of getting a Charles Barkley tattoo. Hardcore Suns fan. Just curious. Have you ever encountered any Charles Barkley tattoos? And were they bad ones? And what was your reaction? Thanks, guys.
He's getting a Charles Barkley tattoo because he's a huge Suns fan and asks if Charles has encountered any other Barkley tattoos. Just answer no unless you're trying to make something
up. I'm trying
to
think. You know, actually, I've never seen another Barkley tattoo, but I will tell you this. I've been thinking about getting a tattoo.
LFH?
No. No. So my mother, my dad, my grandmother, and two of my brothers have passed away. So I'm trying to get something because it's just me and one brother left, John. But number one, I don't want it to hurt. And I don't want
it
to be.
It does.
I know, but I got to do something to remind me of them forever.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do something big and gaudy.
Right.
I mean, so I got to come up with some type of design. I got to figure out where I want to put it just to remind me of all the people because my grandmother and my mom and two brothers and my dad, just something to remind me of them at all times. But I don't want to be in pain, Ernie.
It does. I can speak from experience. It hurts momentarily.
Yeah. I got to get something.
Yeah. Well, make it something of significance.
Yes.
Don't just do it to do it.
No, I'm not. Yeah. No.
And it sounds like you are. You want a way to honor.
Yeah.
And so go for it. Cheryl Ann's got a tattoo too. So she's got one right there on her wrist, right underneath.
Yeah, I just got to figure out what something don't hurt.
It's all going to hurt, but it depends where you have it done.
Some of
these guys who have it done to me, near bone or something like that, and where it's going to take more than one visit, you better be ready.
I don't know if my ass is so big. I don't think it'll hurt.
There's not enough ink.
Everybody's full name on my ass, couldn't I?
Yeah. Put the Bible on that thing. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Steam Room. What a note to leave everybody on. What an image for them to carry for the next week. Seeing how
I
much...
I get name, middle initials, and everything.
Hey, 404-987-0330. That's the number of Chuck's answering machine if you'd like to be included in next week's festivities.
No promises
that you're going to get on there, but if it's good enough, like if you're asking about Chuck and tattoos, you got a pretty good chance. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you.